All I've come to tell you this morning is very simple. I've just come to say, it is well with you. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So to this end, I say, it is well with Ernest. And I understand Bright is also doing the same thing. Manny and I were pestering him the last time we went to Milton Keynes. And he did promise that the thing would probably be done before the year runs out. And now I understand it's getting prepared. So it is well with you. To everyone who is faced with the challenge of ill health, the word of God to you today is, it is well with you. To everyone struggling with one problem, one issue, one challenge or the other, financial and otherwise, I tell you, by the word of the Lord, it is well with you. When I was taking the song teacher's class, one of the hymns that we studied then that actually touched me particularly regarding the history behind this hymn is that hymn titled, It Is Well With My Soul. This hymn is a very popular hymn and it was written by a Presbyterian lawyer and successful businessman, Horatio Spafford. Excuse me. This man was the writer of that hymn. He was born on 28th of October 1828 in North Troy, New York, and he died when he was 60 years old, just 4 days before his 60th birthday in Jerusalem, Israel. He died of malaria. The music to that song was supplied by Philip Blaise, another very great musician. But this man, Spafford, suffered an unimaginable personal tragedy. He was born in New York. He was a successful lawyer in Chicago, but he maintained a very keen interest in Christian activities. He was deeply spiritual and devoted to the scriptures. In the year 1870, however, things started to go wrong. The Spafford's only son was killed by scarlet fever at the age of 4. A year later, fire struck. Spafford had invested heavily in real estate on the shores of Lake Michigan. In 1871, every one of those holdings was wiped out by the Great Chicago Fire. There was a fire in Chicago in 1871 that heavily devastated the entire city. Being aware of the toll that these disasters had taken on the family, Horatio decided to take his wife and 4 daughters on a holiday to England. And not only did they need this rest, they also needed to help D.L. Moody, a very popular British preacher. He was traveling around Britain on one of his great evangelistic campaigns. So Horatio and his wife Hannah planned to join Moody in late 1873. And so the Spaffords traveled to New York in November from where they were to catch the French steamer called Ville du Havre across the Atlantic. Yes, just before the set sail, a last-minute business development forced him to delay. But he did not want to ruin the holiday plans of his family. So he persuaded his family to go ahead as planned, that he will follow on afterwards. With this decided, his wife Hannah and their 4 daughters sailed east to Europe while he returned west to Chicago. Just 9 days afterwards, Spafford received a telegram from the wife, and the telegram reads, "Saved alone." 9 days after the wife and the four daughters traveled, he got this telegram, "Saved alone." What it suggested was that the four daughters had perished in the sea. On November 2nd, 1873, the Ville du Havre had collided with the Lochan, an English vessel, and it sank only 12 minutes after this collision, claiming the lives of 226 people, including the four daughters of this man, Spafford. Hannah, the wife of Spafford, has stood briefly on the deck with her daughters, Annie, Maggie, Bessie, and Tanetta, clinging desperately to her. Her last memory had been of her baby being torn violently from her arms by the force of the waters. Hannah was only saved from the fate of her daughters by a plank which floated beneath her unconscious body and propped her up. It wasn't as if she did anything really for her also to be saved. It was just a matter of accident that a plank, you know, came on underneath her and propped her up. Otherwise, she as well would have perished with her four daughters. When the survivors of the wreck had been rescued, Mrs. Spafford's first reaction was one of complete despair. Then she heard a voice speak to her, "You were spared for a purpose." And she immediately recalled the words of a friend. You know, it is easy to be grateful and to be good when things are rosy, but take care not to be a fair weather friend to God. That is, a friend to God when everything is fine, but when things go amiss, when things go wrong, then you turn your back against God. Let us not behave like that. So that was what Hannah remembered. And upon hearing the terrible news, the man himself, Spafford, boarded the next ship out of New York to join his bereaved wife. During his voyage, the captain of the ship called him to the bridge and told him a careful reckoning had been made, and I guess this is the exact point where the Havre was wrecked. That was where his daughters perished. The water there was 3 miles deep. Rashid then returned to his cabin with a pen in his hand and a paper. He penned the lyrics of this great hymn. And the words which Spafford wrote that day came from our text today, which we have read, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. The Shunammite woman lost a son. And in verse 23, when the husband asked her, "Why are you going to visit the man of God? It is not new moon, no special celebration. Why would you want to visit the man of God?" What was her response? "It is well." The whole King James rendered that verse, "It shall be well." Verse 23. When you go on to verse 26, that was the point when she was approaching Mount Carmel, where the man of God, Elisha, was. He is, having sighted him afar off, sent his servant Gehazi to go after her, to go and welcome her and to ask her if everything was well with her, if everything was well with her husband, if everything was well with her son. And the guy indeed asked her, and in verse 26, She responded the same way. It is well. The words, the lyrics of this hymn echo the response of the Shunammite woman to the sudden death of her only child. Though we are told her soul is vexed within her, she still maintains it is well. And Spafford's song reveals a man whose trust in the Lord is as unwavering as hers was. It would be very difficult for any of us to predict how we would react under circumstances similar to those experienced by the Spaffords. But we do know that the God who sustained them would also be with us through thick and thin. No matter what circumstances overtake us, may we be able to say with Spafford, "It is well with my soul." When peace is like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sin billows roll, whatever my Lord thou hast taught me to say, he says, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance take control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Verse 3. My sin, all the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And in verse 4, the last stanza of that song, it says, and Lord, haste the day when my fate shall decide, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend, even so, it is well with my soul. Philip P. Bliss, the hymn composer, was a prolific writer of gospel songs. He was so impressed with the experience and expression of Spafford's text that he shortly wrote the music for it when he saw this composition. It was first published in one of the praise hymn book, Sankey Bliss Hymnals, Gospel Hymns No. 2, shortly after writing. And shortly after writing It Is Well With My Soul, Bliss also died in a tragic train accident. The Bible says, the righteous is taken away before the day of evil. On reflection, it is divinely amazing that one could experience such personal tragedies and sorrows as did Horatius Spafford, yet able to say with such convincing clarity, it is well with my soul. Brethren, I tell you, this is an enormous challenge for us to embrace the significance of this hymn. Let's again look at the case of this Shunammite woman, as recorded in 2 Kings chapter 4, from verses 8 to 37. The kind woman of Shunem took great care of Elisha, the man of God. She did not do this for personal reasons. She did not do this for selfish motives. But she saw a need, she identified a need, and she fulfilled that need. She met it. She served and helped the man of God. When she lost her son, she adopted a positive approach. When asked by her husband why she wanted to visit the man of God, her response was, "It is well." She wasn't telling stories to the husband, "Say this man of God, he gave us a son and now the son is late." She wasn't morose, crying or sorrowful. She was positive. She simply told him, "It is well." And she left. She knew the solution was somewhere. She knew the solution was with God, because her focus was on God. And she knew that if indeed Elisha was the man of God, it would cause something to happen and this son would be brought back to life. And indeed, her son was brought back to life. What a time of great joy and celebration that was. She hoped against hope, and with great courage and faith, she was able to make such a life-infusing expression, "It is well." Positivism, exercising faith in despair. Brethren, I challenge us today to be positive regarding our situations. When we are positive, I tell you, those mountains of problems will crumble even at our feet. Let us not adopt a pessimist approach. "Oh, it can never be right. Oh, I can never make it. No, things can never get right again." Let's not be pessimistic. The Bible tells us that we have been called to hope, we have been called to liberty. Christians are hopeful people. Christians are not hopeless people. The Shunammite woman was very positive about her adverse situation. She did not lose hope. She knew that with God, all things are possible. Mark chapter 10 verse 27, Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, Genesis 18:14. All these verses say the same thing. With God, all things are possible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. If only we could have faith like a grain of mustard seed, we would surmount the most difficult mountain. We would brace up to the challenges of life and would not allow the pains and sufferings of this present time deprive us of the heavenly goal. Are you faced with extreme difficulties in life? Are you nursing a life-threatening illness? Are your earnings terribly low and the bills are high and the debts are pouring in uncontrollably? They are too huge for you to settle. Is your marriage almost collapsing? Does it seem your prayers are not even being answered? Does it appear there is no God somewhere? "I have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and yet nothing seems to be happening." Have you lost someone very dear to your heart? Don't give up. It is well. It is well with you. It is well with every one of us. It is well with us here in Great Bar. And it is well with the entire people of God all across the globe. Amen. It is well with this country. Amen. It is well with the whole world. Amen. Jesus left the 99 to look for that one sheep that got missing, that got lost. Again, reiterating the lyrics of another hymn written by Joan Hay and Jurgensen, Can you count the stars of evening that are shining in the sky? Can you count the clouds that daily hover over the world go by? God the Lord, who does not slumber, keepeth all the boundless number. But he careth more for thee. Can you count the birds that wobble in the sunshine all the day? Can you count the little fishes that in sparkling waters play? God the Lord, the number knoweth, for each one his care he showeth. Shall he not remember thee? Can you count the many children and their little birds at night, who without a thought of sorrow rise again at morning light? God the Lord, who dwells in heaven, loving care to each has given, he has not forgotten thee. It is significant at this point to note that Spafford did not dwell on the theme of life sorrows and trials. Instead, he focused in the third stanza of his hymn on the redemptive work of Christ, and in the fourth stanza he anticipated the glorious second coming of Jesus. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the hills be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling. And at the end of that psalm it says, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. That's Psalms 46 from 1 to 11. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Psalms 103, 1-6. And in the Gospel according to John chapter 14 verse 27, Christ says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Praying with hope. After Paul had cast out a demon in a slave girl, whose masters used her in making money through her fortune telling, both Paul and Silas were arrested and thoroughly beaten. You know what it means to be well beaten. Afterwards, they were put in the inner prison at Philippi, the innermost of the innermost. As if that wasn't enough, they chained their feet together just to ensure that they would have no means of escape. But what happened at midnight? Paul and Silas prayed and sang hymns to God, and an earthquake occurred, and the prison doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. The book of Acts chapter 16 verses 20-28. In our difficulties, do we remember to pray? Well, thank God for the inspiration we have for the prayer chart, the daily prayer chart which we have put together. Thank God for Mike for that beautiful job he's done. We can pray for one another, we can pray for ourselves. Prayer moves mountains. One hymn says, prayer turns the night into day. It brings light over darkness. That is what prayer does. Like Paul and Silas did in the prison at Philippi, let us always remember to pray. Even while in prison for the cause of righteousness, the men of God did not cease praying and singing, praising God. The Holy Spirit says through Paul to the Philippian saints, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:4-7. Borrowing from the lyrics of the hymn written and composed by Mrs. C.D. Martin and C.H. Gabriel, I'm not going to tell you the history of this other hymn, that I will save that for some other day. This is titled, "Is High Is on the Sparrow." See? Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His high is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His high is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I say to you all, it shall be well with you in Jesus' name. God said it, that settles it, I believe it, the Bible is right.